you played your entire career from 16, 17 to the day you retired with the New York Yankees. What's that like?
It is great. I think it's probably one of the reasons why I have a career in post-baseball. I think the opportunity to play for that organization, having a chance to be in so many good teams in my career, it seems like every year for 10 or 12 years, we were in the postseason. Have an opportunity to go to playoffs, to go to the championship, you know, the so-called World Series, winning 4 out of 6 in my career was a great blessing.
Thanks for pressing play. This episode of Legends and Losers is sponsored by our good friends at Oracle NetSuite. To turbocharge your growth, check out netsuite.com/legends. This is a very special episode with none other than New York Yankee legend Bernie Williams. We have an incredible conversation, what it was like for Bernie to grow up in Puerto Rico as a young kid and sign with the New York Yankees at age 17. How it was for him playing his entire career for the Yankees. What did he learn from winning 4 World Series championships and being a 5-time All-Star? And why Bernie Williams is a legendary musician, plays a ton today, and wants kids to love music too.
Hello, my legendary friends. This is Legends and Losers, the show for people who like to eavesdrop on killer dialogues, brilliant rants, and crazy diversions, straight up with a business twist. Hosted by Christopher Lockhead, former 3-time CMO and co-author of Play Bigger, who has one of the most strategic minds in marketing, but could also hide his own Easter eggs. And now, strap yourselves in. It's time for Legends and Losers.
All right, all right, all right. The Ramones said, hey ho, let's go. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Hello, my legendary friends. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Legends and Losers. And man, it's a special one, a super fun one. If you're a long-term or long-time listener, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And if you're new, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for giving us a shot. Legends and Losers is not like your typical podcast. I am not a professional host or journalist, far from it. And our gimmick, our format, so to speak, is there isn't one. We just try to have authentic conversations, real dialogue with somebody amazing about their life, about their business. And we just try to capture that in a real conversation. We hardly ever edit the show. And what we hope is that we catch lightning in a bottle, conversations that matter, conversations that make a difference. We believe one conversation can change your life. And most importantly, we hope that you feel like this conversation is one that you want to share with the people in your world. Now, I met Bernie Williams earlier in 2018 at Sweet World, which is NetSuite's annual conference. And it was held in Las Vegas, and we had the opportunity to sit down and have a fantastic conversation. So I want to thank the folks at NetSuite for getting us connected up. We have a great conversation. We talk about not just baseball. So even if you're not into baseball, you're going to love Bernie. He's incredibly affable. He also is having an incredible second life as a legendary jazz guitarist. So here he is, New York Yankee world champion, Bernie Williams.
So, Bernie, it's great to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And first, I want to share something with you. I was somebody who had a lot of difficulty in school. Turns out I'm dyslexic. And back in the days when people didn't know much about that. However, my mom found me a school that was 50% music, art, and drama. And I became a musician. And so I'm curious to ask you, why is it today you are so passionate about teaching kids music?
I am very passionate about teaching kids and have them exposed to music and the arts, because I think it's a great way to make a connection with their world, as I did when I was a kid. And as I, you know, later found out that there is actually scientific data to support how important music and the arts are in the actually core education of a child. To have a well-rounded child, it's vital to have them exposed to arts and music. So I know how important it was for my life, so I want to have an opportunity to contribute in having every kid and having that opportunity to be exposed to arts and music in their lives as well.
Now, one of the things I find really sad is, you know, with some of the challenges around funding education in America and other places in the world, the arts tend to be one of the first things. Arts and athletics tend to be things that go out the window.
That is true. And that's one thing that, I mean, if people would understand or have a better understanding on how important that is, you get all the thriving cultures all around the world that have great public education systems. And you study them and you find out that at their core, music and arts and athletics are, you know, part of not a second thought or an afterthought, you know, it sort of, you know, going into mathematics and literature and things like that, which are important. But I think, you know, the fact that you are exposed to music and arts gives you this sort of better understanding, utilizing parts of your brain that otherwise you may not be able to use. So it's, I mean, not everybody's going to be a virtuoso musician, but to use music as an instrument for education, I think is vital to every culture.
Well, I got to thank you because my music and drama teacher in high school, Mr. Ross Russell, Noel Ross Russell, was one of the people who saved my life because for me, math was over in grade three. And sort of traditional school was very hard. And as you know, as a child, if parts of the world are shutting and there isn't something else that opens up for you, it can be a very dark place for a young person.
Absolutely, yeah. And for me, also, as a young kid, I started making the connections with life through music.
How so?
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, a successful life is all about good timing. And guess what? Music is about good timing. Playing baseball is about good timing. Hitting the ball in the right place at the right time. Guess what? You know, all the music is, you know, hitting the right note at the right time. Just, you know, having that opportunity to be creative, thinking outside of the box. You know, all these connections that I was able to make in life as a young kid, I made them through music and the arts. For me, it was really important to have that process as a young kid.
Now, of course, your track record as a Yankee speaks for itself, being a world champion and so forth. One of the things I'm curious to ask you about is the stereotype is, well, there's the jock or there's the more, you know, if I'm not athletic and you're, in my case, a young man and you want to, A, express yourself and maybe get a girl to pay attention to you, then I got to go play music. So you're either sort of a jock or you're a musician or you're an actor or you're whatever, but you were both.
Yes, and you know, I have my parents to thank for because they did not make me choose. As I said before, my mom was an educator, and for her, music, arts, athletics, they was all a means to an end. It was just geared to make me and my brother well-rounded, education-wise, and to be prepared for what life would, you know, throw at us. Little that she knew, little that they knew, that I was going to make sports, you know, my livelihood for a number of years. And then having the love and the passion for music that had sort of driven me after my baseball career into becoming a full-time musician. So for me, it was just a great opportunity. And I was so blessed to have that in my life.
Now, when I first heard you were a guitar player, I sort of thought, okay, how good can he really be, right? And I first started to hear your music on the internet. I saw some videos of you playing live, and I saw you synchronizing solos with trumpet players. And I mean, you play very complex music. And I thought, this is incredible. Like you are a, I play guitar. I'm not that good, but I make a noise. You are a very elite guitar player.
Well, thank you so much. That's very sweet. But, you know, the one thing that I find, you know, later on in my life about my, you know, relationship with music and the arts is that there's never a place that I could say, I know it all. You know, I found Nirvana. There's nothing else that I could learn. There's nothing else that I could do that could make me better. I would never be able to find that place. And as a guitar player, as you know, you practice your craft every day. And even if you don't play one day, the next day you feel like you have to learn everything all over again at times. So it's, to me, it's really important to have those things in my life because it gives me structure. It gives me an opportunity to be creative, and it gives me an opportunity to just utilize that art and that music to be of you know, for the betterment of the community. There's so many things that I could take, you know, this concept, you know, teaching kids, having them involved. Being an advocate for music education and arts education in Capitol Hill, just bringing a smile to a kid just with a simple guitar in a classroom. There's so many things that music and arts are so important for that it'll take me a couple of lifetimes to master everything.
Yeah, it's great when you fall in love with an instrument, whether it's guitar or some other, but I sometimes look at the guitar and I just think there are endless possibilities to make sound, right?
That is true. Endless possibilities to make sound, endless possibilities to approach a certain concept, music structure, harmony, theory, and you can apply all of that into your own life, you know, and to have that song, you know, that have that spiritual song every day that you live, I think this is a really important thing to have as well.
Now, I'm also curious, you've picked two, if I could call them disciplines, baseball and music, where the team aspect is kind of everything, isn't it?
Well, the team aspect is really, really important. But at the end of the day, it's a you know, baseball in particular is a team game played by individuals. When you're in the batter's box, there's nobody else there with you. You have to be able to do your job, whatever it is required for you to do, playing defense, you know, making plays. It's you have to do it for the betterment of the team, but at the same time, it's a very individual process that you have to go through. So it's that duality of, things that keeps me engaged or kept me engaged, knowing that everything that I did, if it was good, it was going to be not for me, but for larger, a bigger thing than me, you know, which was the team, the organization, the city. That was a blessing to be able to be in that situation.
Yeah. Now, if I could ask you just a little bit about your baseball career, you got recruited to the Yankees at an extraordinary young age.
Yes. 16, 17 years old. Back then, you know, you have a scout, you know, go, you know, to, you know, all these islands, all, you know, Central, South America, the Caribbean, and sort of search for talent. And the younger that they search, you know, the better for the organization, even though they may have to spend a little bit more time preparing the player, if they see that they have the ability to maybe make it to the big leagues and have a fruitful and prosperous career, those guys have to, what they call project. They have to project. They see this young, skinny kid at 17, 18, and they have to project and see how they're going to look at 22, 23.
You're investing in your potential.
Yes, but they have to see it there at a very young age. And, you know, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not right. But at the end of the day, it's a process. And sometimes you get people that you say, well, this guy cannot miss. There's no way that this guy is going to be not going to be in the big leagues. But then you see guys like myself. That said, they have to really think, really, really project this kid. I mean, the only thing that I could do good was run. Everything else, I really had to learn to
hit.
You
were an elite.
Yes, I did some track when I was a young kid. So that's the one thing that I knew how to do. Everything else, I had to really work hard to get my skill set to a level that I was, you know, that I was ready to play with the best in the league.
Well, and one of the amazing things about your career, most elite athletes tend to be known more for maybe one or two things that they're incredible at. Not that they're not good at other things, but they have one or two things that stand out. What stands out to me, and I remember your career very well, is you, to tell me if I'm thinking about this the wrong way, were one of the most well-rounded players and Yankees of all time. I mean, great batting average, home runs, stealing bases with your speed, runs scored. I mean, whatever dimension of statistic you want to look at, you were in the elite in most of the key areas of the game, as opposed to being a home run hitter or a base stealer or a gold glove guy, but not a good offense guy or whatever the case may be. So how did you become such a well-rounded player?
I think it was more attitude. I think, a pattern of behavior that could not make me just be one-dimensional. Early on in my career, I learned from my coaches that you could contribute equally playing good defense, being a good base runner, hitting the ball for average or hitting the ball for power, and all of those aspects of the game, you have to sort of keep equally, because you never know when the situation is going to call for you to do something that is going to contribute to the, you know, for you to win the game. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to hit the ball. It may mean that you have to make a game-winning catch, or it might run the bases well. Just advance, take a base, you know, from, you know, capitalizing on the outfielder's mistake or something like that. So I took a lot of pride in working on my whole game into being a very complete player, so I can tackle all the challenges that the game would throw at me.
And even today, it seems like there are not a lot of players with that philosophy. There's players that are maybe one-dimensional is not fair, but two or three dimensional, where you were 12 dimensional, so to speak.
Yeah, it is true. I think, you know, like I said before, it comes to, I think you have, for you to play in the big leagues, you have to have sort of a default level of, you know, greatness. And then from there, you can, you know, then you can single out the Mike Trouts, you know, the Harpers, you know, the Stantons, you know, the Judges. There's something, you know, singular that would determine them and how good they are at one particular thing. But it is rare to have a person to have the opportunity to excel in all those things at the same time.
Now, the other thing I'm dying to ask you, Bernie, is you played your entire career from 16, 17 to the day you retired with the New York Yankees. What's that like?
It is great. I think it's probably one of the reasons why I have a career in post-baseball. I think the opportunity to play for that organization, having a chance to be in so many good teams in my career, it seems like every year for like 10 or 12 years, we were in the postseason. Have an opportunity to go to playoffs, to go to the championship, you know, the so-called World Series, winning 4 out of 6 in my career was a great blessing. And to do it for one team is sort of kind of like cemented my sort of legacy within the context of the team. And Don Mattey, one of my great friends and great influences in the game, he said to me, well, you play this game for a number of years, but at the end of the day, you have to make your mark in the game. You have to leave the game knowing that you did something that is going to single you out, and you're going to have some sort of say in the history of the team or being a contributor. And I took that to heart. You know, we had a great team. We had, you know, Paul O'Neill and Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, obviously Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, you know, that core of players, and then everybody that came after that.
You guys seem to feed off each other. I mean, there's a lot of greatness in those names.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, I mean, are going to be probably shoo-in Hall of Famers. I've pictured myself and start taking myself back to where, you know, the time that we were playing, and everybody had this sort of team concept and this orientation to have the opportunity to play for something bigger than themselves. And I think that was one of the reasons that we were so successful. There was not a lot of egos in the clubhouse. Everybody was trying to lean on each other and then have the responsibility to take care of their part when they were playing, to do the best that they could. And it was just a great time.
Now, throughout your career, and of course today, you have always been known as a very humble, affable, approachable kind of guy. How is it possible that with your career and being signed so early and 4 championships and the whole thing, I mean, you could be the most egotistical pain in the ass in the world, and yet you're this awesome, affable guy who cares about kids and you're doing, like, how is it possible you stay grounded?
Well, I think it has to do a lot with my parents. When I was a young kid, they told me, never talk about yourself. Have other people talk about you. Never, toot your own horn. You do your own talking and your own communication on the field by the things that you do, not by the things that you say. At the end of the day, it's all about what you do. It's all about your actions. It's not about your words, because you have to back them up. I sort of took that to heart. And as I was training and preparing myself, and even through my whole career as a Yankee, it was all about performing and have that be the voice. I never really volunteered for any information and, you know, media reporters like that. I always kept my mouth shut and play the game, and to have that be my voice. So it worked really well for me. But obviously there's different personalities, different, you know, people that could take the media and take that attention and thrive and sort of, you know, be, you know, do well with that kind of attention. But for me, it was more, you know, I wanted to be there. I wanted to be a presence. I wanted to be important, indispensable. But at the same time, I wanted to keep my sanity, I guess, you know, just doing my thing and not really talking too much about it.
Well, Bernie, I can't thank you enough for this time. You're an unbelievable guy and an inspiration to many.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's very sweet. I loved your career on the field, and I love that you're so passionately playing music and sharing it with children. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Whew! Bernie Williams, how do you like that? On Legends and Losers, pretty great, huh? Man, this is a fun job I got going, I'll tell you. Now, if you appreciate this conversation with Bernie as much as I do, please share it on social media. Please email it to a friend. I want you to know the biggest thing you can do, if you appreciate what we're trying to do here at Legends and Losers, the biggest thing you can do to help us is to share Legends and Losers with your friends and share it on social media. Now, as I mentioned, I met Bernie because of the good people at NetSuite. And the reason NetSuite is our founding sponsor and not some maker of cat shampoo is NetSuite, like me, is committed to helping you grow. And so here's what I'd like you to do. Go to netsuite.com/legends, and there you can set up your free growth review. And you'll be able to spend an hour with an expert in your industry who can help you address the opportunities and challenges around growth. Now, NetSuite has been a pioneer in digital commerce, amongst many other things, since the late 90s. NetSuite provides a e-commerce solution for a unified, if you will, digital commerce and shopping experience that integrates with your back office system. Today, NetSuite powers thousands of online businesses, helping them grow their revenue with the ability to design an experience on their website for your brand. You can transform your store by delivering, if you will, an omni-channel experience, whether it's a physical experience with somebody going into a physical store or, of course, your digital store. And the power of this is you can have a continuous shopping experience that is completely unified. So regardless of where the customer wants to do business with you, you'll be ready. And you can execute your omni-channel commerce strategy on any device. NetSuite allows you to build web designs that are device optimized for online shopping experiences that display elegantly across smartphones, tablets, laptops, and of course, desktops. So if you want to do omni-channel commerce and selling and you want to integrate your website to your back end, to your inventory, and so forth, you're going to want NetSuite. So please go check out netsuite.com/legends and get your grow on. And if you're out there on the interweb, why not check out legendsandlosers.com? We got a brand new website. We'd love it if you subscribed so that you joined our newsletter. And again, if you want to help us, the biggest thing you can do to say thank you for Legends and Losers is please share the show. Now, we would like to thank our guest today, the amazing Bernie Williams. If you want to learn more about him, you can check out our show notes or go to bernie51.com. The amazing people at Atira Systems, strong water technology, trying to make a difference with wildfires and to firefighters around the world. Check out atirasystems.com. The number one Amazon best-selling book from the summer by Heather Clancy and myself, Niche Down, How to Become Legendary by Being Different. Please check it out on amazon.com. Equity Directory. If you're in the startup ecosystem, if you are a startup founder and you're looking for people who will help you build your business, who are willing to work primarily for equity, or you're somebody who wants to work with startups and work primarily for Equity Directory, check out equitydirectory.com. GrowWire.com. It's where growing entrepreneurs go for awesome content. Heather and I have been writing for GrowWire. There's a GrowWire podcast that I was stoked to be the first guest on and subsequently has had a bunch of really cool guests. There's a GrowWire TV show. There's a whole lot of blog posts, a lot of other interesting information. Check out GrowWire.com. The amazing people at OneLifeFullyLive.org. They are committed to helping you dream, plan, and live your best life. They're the nonprofit making a difference. Check out OneLifeFullyLive.org. Spiro, the sales app for salespeople and sales managers who like to make money. Check out Spiro, SPIRO.AI. Now, are you a thought leader? Do you want to get your leading thoughts on some leading podcasts? Check out interviewvalet.com. They exclusively represent me, and they will get you on some of the leading podcasts in the world. Check out interviewvalet.com. Now, let's talk about podcasts. A podcast that I love, Grumpy Old Geeks podcast with our friend and guest, Jason DeFilippo. This is the podcast that talks about what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame. Check out GOG.show. And the World Wildlife Fund, because our planet and wildlife matter. Check out WWF.org. Now, I need to remind you that this podcast is the sole property of the Legends and Losers Podcast Network, and we would love it if you shared the shit out of it. All rights do remain disturbed. And I must warn you, this podcast is clearly produced in a studio that does contain nuts. On Legends and Losers, we may make forward-looking statements, backward-looking statements, present-moment-looking statements, and completely asinine statements. And don't forget, actual results may differ materially. Don't forget to listen to Prince. Support your local baseball leagues. Don't forget, Legends and Losers is never tested on GMOs. Be nice to your sister. Teach baseball. Thank you so much, Dandy Candy. I love you, Mom and Dad. And hey, Colin, this oddcast really ties the room together, doesn't it? Today, our deepest apologies go to Nick Halstad, CEO of InfoSum. Sorry, Nicky, we just ran out of time for you. That's it. Thank you so much for investing part of your life with us. It really means the world to me, and look forward to seeing you again on Legends and Losers.